Good to see you today. Nice sunshiny day. It's going to be warm again. So I understand Jim and Tony's going to forget the hot maybe and go to where it could be a little cooler. At least they'll have some water to get into. So they're going on vacation next week, so let's pray for them. They need traveling mercies. But anyway, it is good to see y'all this morning. I have just a few announcements. We'll let Philip get started. Tonight, remember, at 6:15, we've got a men's prayer meeting down in the Blue Room, the Berean class, at 6:15 for the men that would like to come down there and pray before the service. Also, there's the sign-ups out there in the lobby for the Appalachian Fair booths. And so if you've never been involved in that, it's a very blessed thing to be involved with. And we see usually a lot of people that will accept the Lord during that week as the fair goes on. So we also have a booth for the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we give out information for people that's coming by about our church. So if you would consider that, maybe you'd like to sign up. Also, a couple of condolences I'd like to talk about. One of them is Mike Winkle. He was the guy that we asked prayer for last Sunday. He worked with Rick McConnell out at Eastman, and he's passed on. He was, the heart attack put him on a machine, and when they took him off the machine, he passed. So pray for his family. That's the Winkle family. And then also, I don't know if all of y'all know Mike Babcock or not. He usually sits right here about the third or fourth seat back on the front in the center. And his brother was killed in a plane crash this week. So pray for that family. It's his name was Roland Babcock, and he was up in the Michigan area, if I understand right. If I've said that wrong, I apologize, but I believe that's where the Babcocks came from. So pray for that family. Also, Miss Nancy just came up here and told me about a friend of her daughter-in-law, who is, her name is Gina Poole, and she's 41 years old, and she's in end-stage liver disease, and they are pretty sure that she's not saved. And so we'd like for you to pray for her salvation, confirmation before this lady passes on to eternity. Hear also this morning that Pat, Joe's wife, fell on Monday, and she's had a rough week. She is doing a little bit better, but it messed up her sleeping, and so when it messes up her sleeping, everything else is messed up. Correct, Joe? So remember Pat Shaw. We're praying for her, okay? Let's see. For this week, Danny and Sharon Copas is going to celebrate an anniversary, and so happy anniversary to y'all, and we hope you have what makes you happy. okay, so happy anniversary to them. We don't have any birthdays coming up this week. I noticed there is some next week. It's also good to have the Cagers back with us. They've been gone for a week or two or three, and Brother Scotty's had some heart issues going on, so remember him. He's probably going to be here next two or three weeks, and then they will be gone again for a little while on the road. I think that's all the announcements that I have. So does anyone have an unspoken? Okay, several unspoken. Okay. Well, I tell you what, let's go to the Lord, and we'll ask him to bless these requests, to be with these folks that have loved ones that have passed, and we'll pray for Brother Philip. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, and God, your blessings are so great, Lord. There's no way that we could ever say thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. And Lord, we do come to you this morning with requests that some of our people have gotten problems, Lord, falls and sickness and heart issues. There's things that's going on. We have people that are lost, Lord, that we're praying for salvation. And Lord, we pray that you would just work, dear God, the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts. They would come to know you, free pardon of sin. Father, bless this day. Bless Brother Philip, God, as he teaches to us. And Lord, this has been, the book of James has been a very, very in-depth study, and we thank you for all that you have shown us during this time. And Lord, bless our pastor as he comes at 11 o'clock. Pray that you will bless everyone that's in the service, Lord. And if there be someone here that don't know you, may today be the day that they trust you as Lord and Savior. Thank you again. Lord, I just want to say, God, you've been so good. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You can be turning to James chapter 5. We don't like it when you're gone, Brother Carrier. We didn't like it when David was gone. We're not going to like it when Jim and Tony are gone. We just don't like it. We miss you. No, Leroy, not you. You can go on. I had to say that because you'd give me all sorts of trouble. No, we miss you guys when you're gone. We do. It's not the same. And it's always good to have you back. And if you're gone for a while, I'm praying. I'm assuming that you're traveling or something. And so I pray for traveling mercies. Amen. And so come back to us safe. We pray. Now I'm going to read these first six verses. Then I'm going to make reference to what we talked about last week. So let me read this. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. That's very important. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Last week, at the end of chapter 4, we saw a series of contrasts, if you remember our lesson from last week. We saw last week what we say. If we want to go back up and look at it again, go to now. Same exact idiom that announces this last part of chapter 4 announces the first part of chapter 5. Go to now. And we saw that. Listen up. Pay attention. Go to now. Ye that say. So we saw a series of contrasts. What they say, and down in verse 15, what you ought to say, and what we will go, and then what the Lord's will is, down in verse 15, I believe it was, what we think about our life, and then what the Lord thinks about our life. It's just a vapor. And what we boast about, and then what God's opinion of that boasting is, it is evil. That contrast continues in our text today. And if anything, it is even more profound than what we saw last week. One is a judgment. The other is a condemnation. Both of these start with "go to now." And in chapter 4, God certainly is not pleased with what we say or how we live, nor our boastings. He made that very clear, amen? He is not pleased. But, and this is a very important but, he does warn us about sin. He does correct our error. He does give us instruction, and he does tell us what we ought to do. That is judgment and a rebuke. We are being chastised. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11:32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. To be rebuked is a chastisement, correct? You don't have to take out a rod every time your child does something wrong. Sometimes a furrowed brow and it's chastisement enough to bring them back into line. Amen? We are judged and we are chastened of the Lord. Why? That we should not be condemned with the world. What we see in James 5, 1 through 6 is a condemnation. It is not a rebuke. It is a condemnation. Their judgment is foretold as an absolute certainty. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. No ifs, ands, or buts. It will. It is approaching. What they have lived for is stripped away from them in verses 2 and 3. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. So their sins are enumerated, brought out as a witness against them. As a matter of fact, it's a double witness against them. Verse 3, their gold and silver is rust and is a witness, and the cries of the people that reap down their harvest rises up into the ears of the Lord and also witnesses against them. Death requires a double witness, amen? There is a double witness in verse 3 and 4, which the law requires for a sentence of death. By the way, this is what is brought out at the white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. These people right here, no place for them. And I saw the dead, these people, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. That one they're not found in. The dead are judged by the things that are written in those books, and there are at least two books that will be opened for them. Their deeds, their works, according to their works. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. If you remember in Jude chapter 1 and verse 15, Jude said this: to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Their deeds and their words will come up in those books one day. And guess what? Every mouth will be stopped. There will be no arguing in that day. I've talked with plenty of people in my soul winning, and they said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to God about these things. Folks, there is no talking to God at that day. None. There is no debate. They will stand dumbfounded as those books are opened, and they are condemned outright. By the way, they are condemned already, according to John 3. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son is condemned already. There is no going up there and debating your cause and convincing him that your good outweighs your bad. There will be none of that. They are condemned already. And their words and their works, their ungodly deeds and their ungodly heart speeches shall testify against them. A double witness. And also, notice in the very first verse, go, ye rich men. Listen, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that will come upon you. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You and I weep and mourn over our sin, and that process is a process of repentance. We talked long about the sorrow of this world, the sorrow of repentance. We don't need to talk about that again, but God gives that to us so that he can lift us up. Folks, there is no lifting up in this. They will weep and they will howl because they did not repent, and their judgment is just and it is absolutely certain. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. And he goes on to say in Luke 13 and verse 3, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. There comes a time, this is that time, there comes a time when it is too late to repent. Genesis 7 verse 16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. Now think of this. There they are gathering into the ark. There's the ark. And the Lord shut them in. I assume that he came down and closed that door after everybody was in there. The minute he closed that door, there was no longer room for repentance. They can weep and howl all they want outside that boat. They are not getting in. It was too late to repent. Folks, there is a time when it's too late for the people of this world to repent. Genesis 19 and verse 13, God sent two angels into the cities of the plain, and they said this, for we will destroy this place, Sodom and Gomorrah. We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. At that point, it was too late for repentance. You say, brother, this is fearful. It ought to be. It ought to be. There is a time when there is no repentance accepted. Proverbs 1 and verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and has he not, and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity and will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. Folks, this is what he is talking about when he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. This is plural, by the way. There are more than one miseries in hell. The Bible says in Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous. That's what we see in chapter 4. He's trying the righteous. He's rebuking them. He is working in them so that he does not have to condemn them with the world. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone. And notice these words, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. God will make them drink this cup forever. When a person outside of Christ dies, they are not carried into hell like Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The wrath of God, like a horrible tempest, will fall upon them, and they are instantly swept away by a raging storm. They feel their helplessness, and they are overcome by despair. Their miseries have begun. Your miseries that will come upon you. Horrible tempest. John 3 and verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And it will never end. It abides on them. The miseries that will come upon you. God will sweep them into hell with a horrible tempest, and they will know their helplessness, and they will know that it is too late, forever too late. Folks, that alone will be a misery, amen? To know that I have been a fool, that I saw the truth and rejected it, oh, that'll be a misery. What a misery that will be. Romans 9 and verse 22 says this. What if God, willing to show his wrath. Folks, God is willing to show his wrath. That ought to tell us something about God. He is willing to show his wrath and to make his power known. But he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. You and I are promised a new and an immortal body. Amen? I can't wait. This one's not too good, and it's getting worse day by day. But I have been promised a new immortal body fitted for the life that I'm going to live up there. My Bible teaches me that there are laid up for me pleasures forevermore. I will have a body adapted to all the pleasures that God has for me up there. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Amen. We can't wait. But it is not so with the lost. Let me read you a verse. A passage, Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Notice this, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt into life, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye, than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Have you ever pulled a worm out of the mud and watched it writhing? And what does it do? It tries to get back into that wet mud because just the dry air begins to dry it out, and it's a pain to it. It wiggles like crazy. Folks, God is going to fit the lost with a body designed to suffer, and he will strip from them the dignity of being made in the image of God. They think they're going to go down to hell, and I've heard them, when I get down there, I'm going to be with my buddies, and we're going to live it up. You will not live it up, and you will not even bear the image of God down there. You and I will be given a beautiful, perfect body that glorifies God, and they will be given a body designed and fitted for shame and suffering. It will be a worm. That is the body that God will give them in their eternal hell, where their worm will not die, and it will be fitted for destruction, and there they will writhe like the worms you see that come out of the mud, eternally. The miseries that will come upon you. Luke 16 and verse 24. And this is the rich man in hell. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I witnessed to a man one day, he quoted that verse as a proof that this could not be talking about hell, because he said, if I was in hell, I wouldn't want just a drop of water. I would want him to pour all sorts of water on. He missed the point. The point is, there is not one drop of relief for those in hell. Not one drop. They are denied. Their misery will not be relieved at all. The miseries that will come upon you. Not one drop. Notice also in verse 25 of that incredible passage. Let me get back there. But Abraham said, son, remember. Oh, how they will remember. They will be tormented by their memories. Remember, you had your good things, and Lazarus did not. Now you are tormented, and he is not. And he is comforted. Folks, the memory and the thought, the minute their life ends, the minute they pass from this life to another, those miseries begin. They will be given that horrible body. They will have the memory that I was a fool to reject this incredible gift of God's grace. And it will be too late forever. Remember, all their miseries will also be part of their eternal regret for what they did. And in verse 26 of that same passage, all the miseries that will come upon them. And beside all this, oh, this is terrible. And beside all this, not only you are tormented in that flame, not only your memories, not only the fact that not one drop of relief will ever be given to you, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. There is no hope of ever getting out of there. And they know it. He reminds him of it. Folks, that's a misery. The miseries that will come upon you, that it will be impossible to ever get out of there. The wrath of God, the worm that dieth not, their memories, the hopelessness of it, the miseries that will come upon you. Now, folks, God has been so good to us, because he is constantly judging us now that he might not condemn us with the world. Amen? You and I are so blessed. Let me see if I can find this verse real quick. This is a perfect illustration, these two passages, this wonderful contrast of 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. God in his mercy opened our understanding to our sin and sent the Holy Spirit, as we see in John 16 and verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. God in his mercy dealt with us about our sins beforehand. Amen? There is a judgment coming for everybody, but God dealt with us and opened our eyes to our sins and condemned us in our own eyes. And what did we do? We came to our wonderful Savior, and our sins were dealt with beforehand. But he goes on to say, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before unto judgment, and some men they follow after. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The unjustified ones are reserved to this. Weep and howl for your mercy, for your miseries that will come upon you. Folks, God has been very, very good to us. You and I, our sins are open beforehand, amen, and have gone before unto judgment, already done, already judged. Praise God for that. Those dear people out there, folks, they don't know it, but their miseries are to come upon them. And we need to do our best to try and reach them, amen. Those tracts we give out, the opportunities we get to talk to them, because, folks, it will be nothing but misery for them the minute, the second that heart quits beating, that last breath. Remember it said your life is but a vapor. When you go out on a cold day and you breathe out, that is what he's talking about, that vapor. And that is the... If you take that last vaporous breath and do not take another one, you're dead. And that is exactly what he's talking about. We are one breath, vaporous breath away from death, every one of us. But the minute we take that last breath, the miseries begin for these poor people. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked will he destroy. Do you know there's a theological debate about the perseverance of the saints or the preservation of the saints? In other words, do we make it finally to heaven because of our steadfastness in the faith or because of his power to keep? Now, folks, let me say this. The evidence of our preservation by God is our perseverance in the faith. Those two go hand in hand. Our steadfastness is a working of God in us to keep us and to preserve us in the way of righteousness. Now, if we falter and fall because he knows our way and loves us, he in faithfulness judges us and chastens us. Praise the Lord. If someone continues in a state of rebellion, what do? We begin to fear for them, whether they were merely tares and not true Christians. We rightly ask, where is the God who judges and chastises all of his children? Folks, God works in his children's lives to bring them back into the way of righteousness. Amen? That is an evidence that you and I are saved. Somebody that claims that they know that they are saved and can live in sin, folks, they are deceived. Amen? God knows the way of the righteous and preserves them in that way. Now, does that mean that we never sin? Goodness gracious, I wish. But guess what? God knows my way, and he loves me enough to judge me, chasten me, and guess what? Psalm 23, and he leadeth me back to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's how God preserves you and me, and that is how we persevere, amen, because God keeps working in us to bring us back to where we need to be. I cannot conceive of a Christian experience that does not include that process. Now, folks, God judgeth the righteous. God is working in our hearts. God wants us to stay close to him. If we fall, if we get into that place of James chapter 4 and he has to upbraid us, it is all for our good that he does that. Amen. He does not do that for the lost. If they will not come to Christ, if they will not repent in this day, in one of these days, it will be too late. And their miseries will come upon them. Next week, Lord willing, I would like to talk about the cry of this world. The cries of them has entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. I'd like to go all the way back to Genesis and hear the cry of this world that God does hear, folks. And one day he will act upon those cries. Let us pray. Father, thank you for these people. I hope I've done a good job with this wonderful text. Lord, you've been so good to us, so good. We've been spared all of those miseries, every one of them. There is laid up for us pleasures forevermore because of what our Savior went through for us. God, I pray that you would help every one of us to be obedient children until the day you come and get us. In Jesus' name, amen.